Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You may have heard me talk about Burt Nutrition before. My family and I started Burt Nutrition because of our collective passion for health and wellness and to help people lose weight and just feel better about themselves. Who doesn't want to feel better about themselves? So right now, I'm just going to take a minute to talk to you about our staple product, our grass-fed whey protein that's available at burtnutrition.com. We created a high-quality, healthy, pure protein supplement without an ingredient list full of junk. Our grass-fed whey protein is all natural, hormone-free. It has the nutritional components your body needs to build muscle and lose weight. So stop buying just any protein powder on the shelf, especially if it has a ton of ingredients you can't read. Our grass-fed whey protein is low-carb, naturally sweetened with stevia, and has 23 grams of power-packed protein in every scoop, and it tastes amazing. Whether you're looking for a nutritious snack or a meal replacement with one of our awesome shake recipes, which include apple pie, pumpkin spice, and cinnamon roll, just to name a few, or you just want to include more protein in your diet, which we all need, try our great-tasting grass-fed whey protein. We have vanilla and we have chocolate, and it's awesome. Use the code SCJ15 for 15% off right now at burtnutrition.com. Use the code SCJ15 for 15% off today.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
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 Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's awesome. Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's, so
that's awesome.
Awesome.
Oh, awesome.
That's awesome.
With Stephen Bradford. Stevie B!
Bradford, what's going on?
Hey, dude.
How are you?
I'm great.
Are you great?
I got the kids home from school today. So there's like this ambient noise in the house, which makes it feel like a full house, which is lovely.
Well, it is a full
house. When you're trying to get some work done. Isn't it the best?
No, it's not the best at all.
And I got a dog with a cone on his head barking his face off. So
yeah.
Life is good.
Well, you chopped his balls off, so what do you expect?
I know. What is he supposed to do?
That's really not nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, I've been trying to track this awesome, beautiful woman down for so long now. She's very gracious. She's kept texting me back, and so we finally got her here, and I'm so excited to talk to Mary Beth Evans is joining us. We're so excited, Mary Beth. Thank you for doing this. I know it's been
I loved what you said. Let me see. What'd you say? I'll circle back or... You had some cute little expression you used all the time with me. I love that.
Oh, I'll circle back. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll circle back in 2021.
I know. Well, you know, it's been a crazy time. Even though it's COVID and we're not doing anything, my daughter's nearby and she just graduated from orthodontic residency.
Wow.
And, yeah, seriously, 7 years or whatever. And then has a new baby. So I'm always trying to help her out.
Oh, you're so busy.
It.
Yeah.
Wow. But, oh, my gosh.
Say, you guys aren't grandparents yet, but when you've had that, you know, that big break from having a baby, I swear. And I don't work out enough. And in COVID, I've worked out not at all. So my shoulders, everything like hurts.
Gosh.
It's like a 20-pounder, you know, like, eh. But, so I didn't mean to be so busy, but.
No, it's fine.
I'll go. Days and
can't you ignore your grandchild to hang out with us, please?
Well, yeah, but you know, as I've said, I've known Steve since he was a baby. Like, really? I mean, how old were you in, when you started on Days when I first met you?
He was a heavy baby.
Probably.
Yeah, he was a heavy baby.
That was actually Scott Reeves and I started there at the same time.
Yeah, I remember.
1980s. I was 17.
Yeah.
Now I'm 50.
So I was going to say, I'm almost 60, so I knew I was thinking about I was probably 10 years older than you.
It's crazy.
I don't know how that all happened, but.
It was crazy.
I
just remember I was doing another show at the time and I had the summer off and I was doing Days and it was supposed to be there only like 6 episodes. It turned into more, but this was like when Patch and Kayla were just like hitting. It was almost the same as, I don't want to say almost the same as Luke and Laura,
but it was a
super couple. Like I've never seen like the buzz of Patch and Kayla ever. And it was at the height. I think it was set. It might have been 87, 88 or something.
I think we got married, right? You know, that big boat thing and all that was.
Yeah. You know what? I checked that out, actually. last night, because that was the second one, you know, compared to Luke and Laura, that was one of the highest rated daytime weddings ever.
Yeah.
Was Patch and Kayla.
And they actually went outside, you know.
It was a big location outside. You guys were on some kind of boat. Where'd you shoot that?
Docked in San Pedro, a little marina or something.
Is that where you were, San Pedro?
Port of Call or something, whatever it's called.
That's so funny.
I know.
So before we get into all that, we want to kind of learn about your journey and how you got here. So I saw that you were born in Pasadena, California.
I was, but I think my parents were passing through. They didn't actually live here. I think they lived in the town south of here, whatever. But when I was very young, like 5 or something, they moved to Orange County, to Irvine, actually, which is a planned community. And sure. It was one of the first of that, you know, there was nothing. It was all orange groves out there. And, and in fact, we used to hike to this thing called Turtle Rock. You live in Orange
County.
Sure,
I know where Turtle Rock is.
So we used to hike. There were cows and it was a big open field. Now I think there's a little fence around that rock and there's condos all the way up to it. I mean,
of course, there is.
But, right. And then my parents were divorced when I was very young, like 6. So then it became, my mother, she liked to change the floor plan so she'd move to a different apartment in the same complex. You know, I'd have like a little dolly. We just shuffle our boxes down there. But I will say she had the pictures hung by nightfall. So I'm like that if I ever move. It's like I don't stop until it's all done. But I lived all over Orange County. And then I met my husband. I was in a play at South Coast Repertory down there, you know. And I met him and we fell madly in love and I had about 3 long distance dates. He lived in Chicago and I moved there. And so then when we came back from there, when he did his residency in Los Angeles at USC, and Pasadena was the closest town to get a house and raise your kid, whatever. So we moved here in 85 when we got married. We just had our 35th wedding anniversary. Shocking.
Wow.
Amazing. And I think that Patch, Stephen, and I, we should be in the Guinness Book of Records because he's been married to his wife for 36 years. I've been married to my husband for 35. And Patch and Kayla have been married off and on, you know, a few trials and tribulations that soap operas do. But we are together now still.
Sure.
And that's like, you know, 35 years. So that's pretty cool.
That's awesome. And that's pretty unlikely. Both actors that play the characters and the characters, and right. Like you're bucking the stereotype. Well done.
I think so.
For
I
all of us, thank you.
When did the acting bug get you though, Mary?
Even as a kid, like when I think you know, my mother saw somebody who read her horoscope when I was little, like 5 or 6 years old, and I remember her coming home and all of us circling around her and saying, "Oh, what did they say about me? What did they say about me or whatever?" And she said that I would be an actress. So I don't know if, you know, the egg or the chicken or whatever, but sure. On that, but I was always one of those precocious kids who was always dressing in everybody's clothes and costumes. And as I got older, I found this way to put on plays in class instead of doing, you know, tests or something. I'd say, how about if I put on a whole performance and bring these people in costumes? And so I always was on that path. And then when I was 18, I did the summer conservatory at South Coast Repertory Theater and then auditioned for the first play after that, got in that play, and it was in the very first Christmas Carol. They've done Christmas Carol every year.
Oh, yeah, we went to see it.
Yeah.
I was in the very first one.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Martha Cratchit. And what's interesting is in the next play, Michael, that's when I met my husband, he came to that play with a friend of mine. And met me, and all those people that were in Christmas Carol saw the beginning of our love story on that particular weekend. And so then my niece was in that production, you know, a kabillion years later, like 19 years later. And we went back and took our adult kids all those guys that were still there.
Wow.
So it was so cool for them. Like, oh my God, how did this happen that you have grown kids now? So then when we came back from Chicago, I did a play there. Somebody in the audience saw me and was a commercial or some kind of agent or something. And so then I kind of started doing stuff in LA and Days of Our Lives was really, I had done one other soap with Ken Schreiner, Rituals, it was called.
Oh yeah. I remember Rituals.
Yeah, it was like a nighttime first run syndication that had, they didn't do that yet. You know, it was kind of before its time.
It was ahead of its time for sure. Yeah.
And then,
that was NBC though, right?
It was Telepictures 11 or something. I don't know.
And Ken had already been on GH, right? Ken had already been on GH at that point?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
he was famous. In fact, he was famous, and Scotty Baldwin, you know. And then he got asked to go on to Merv Griffin, the talk show, for Rituals. And so he asked me to go with him, and I was just like barely in, you know, I was like 21 years old going, oh my God. And so I wore a dress I made because I thought if we run out of things to talk about, I'll talk about this dress I made. But so I went on there, and Ken, you know, he's not really a big talker. So I was just, he let me do all the talking. So it was really quite fun. But my husband and I then had gotten married and bought a house. And I was now unemployed, as actors go. And he said, you know, you probably have to go get a waitress job again because we need to pay our mortgage. And so I said, well, let me just, you know, wait till I hear about this Days of Our Lives job before I pick up the uniform. Like, I got the job, but I pick up the, and lo and behold, it was a life changer. You know,
wow.
You think you're going to be there for a minute. I mean, I've been doing episodic television. So you're thinking like 3 years.
Ooh. Yeah. So all those guest stars that I saw on your IMDb, was that before Days?
Before Days. Well, okay, then I've done some during even the last few years, you know, snuck out and done some little things, but all those ones, like, you know,
well, let me talk about the, important one, Knight Rider.
I did two of them.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
that was before Days. Yeah.
Were you in the car? Did you drive the car? Yeah. Sweet. That's all I wanted to know.
He put his little pieces of the script taped to the whole inside of the
thing. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
So all those little episodics that they did a lot of that back then, you know, I did all that before. Yeah. And so to sign on for Days for 3 years seemed like, oh my God, this is a lifetime. Well, you know, yeah. I stayed there for 6, then I did General Hospital for 7, then I did As the World Turns for 6, and then I've been back to Days since 2006. So you know,
so the longest stretch is the current one. Yeah.
Yeah. It becomes a life choice. I mean, no offense to General Hospital because I did love everybody there, and it's a very clean studio compared to some of these other ones. But
that's good.
I always felt Days was kind of my home. That's where I started.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, that's what gave you all these other opportunities too. You became, you know,
Kaylin. Actually, I did As the World Turns. Chris Goutman, who was the executive producer, called me to do that. And he treated me like daytime royalty. He was so, so nice.
Yeah.
And
you did that for like four or five years there?
6 years going back and forth.
6 years. Wow. Mm-hmm. Going back.
Because you still had your family out here, but we're working in New York.
Yeah. And I was in my early 40s. And I mean, I did kind of feel like I was getting away with murder. My kids were like high school kids and my husband's calling me with issues. I'm like, can I get another blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
So yeah, right.
That part was pretty sweet. But, yeah. So Steve, you guys know, it becomes a life choice. I like not working at night. I like just having my few days a week and enjoying the people there and coming home and living my life. I mean, I always joke that my family thinks I work at a bank because we don't talk about it. It's not a thing.
And, sure.
You know what I mean? It's and it's kind of, we're lucky.
Isn't that funny? Sorry, Brad. Bradford, I promise I'll let you talk. Usually, Mary Beth, this guy talks so much.
I get so curious.
I can't get a word in edgewise, but go ahead.
You're right. It is a choice because there are sometimes when you're working 3 days a week and you don't feel like you're, you know, burning the candle at both ends. And so therefore you're like, well, I'm not doing all I can. I'm an artist. I should bleed for this. And you're not. And then you realize that's okay.
Yeah.
You have to kind of give yourself over to it a little bit.
As an actor, it makes you a little bit, I mean, I'm going to use the word lazy in the very best sense of the word. Because when you have these jobs, you are so happy with that you're, if I was unemployed, I would be hustling, you know, to try to get a job or, okay, I got to get into play because then my creative juices are going and good things come from that. And so, yeah. It makes me just enjoy my life.
Yeah. It takes a while though, because innately as an actor, you're like, okay, this feels too good. When's it going to drop? When's the shoe coming? It's coming.
I've been out in the cold a couple times. I mean, Days let me go. Steven had left in like 91 or something like that. And so I was there for a year, and then I was pretty idealistic at the time and wanted them to commit that they were going to write true to my character. I wasn't going to resign, you know, like that's out the window.
Right.
But
those days are gone.
Yeah. But I was kind of devastated because I thought I'd be there kind of forever. And so, but they were all good things. It actually was Jane Elliott when Shelley Curtis called me to say, I have a part for you on General Hospital.
Amazing.
And I thought, I don't know, Days is my home, and I don't know. And it was Jane Elliott that called me and said, do it. It's going to be fun. And I'm so glad I did because it was so different for me. And I met so many great people. And
when you said GH was a clean set, did you mean that literally or metaphorically?
I mean, truthfully, like the floors are polished and dusted. I'm not going to say which place is not, but I also
sure. Yeah. It's a very clean soundstage.
Yes. We even did a, what was the name of it? It was I Want to Be a Soap Star or some kind of show that Michael
Burton
was. I was a judge with that. And even we shot it there. And I was just reminded how polished the floors are.
You're so funny.
And I won't, some other studios aren't quite like that.
So when you were on GH, was it Catherine Bell?
Mm-hmm.
Catherine. Yeah. So who'd you work with primarily there?
Okay. Everybody's name's going to go out the window because I'm old. I can't remember her name all of a sudden. It's so crazy. Lynn Herring.
Lynn. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Lynn Herring was my nemesis and we were always,
Okay. So who was the love interest?
It was John York for a long time.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Johnny York. Yeah.
And that really adorable guy, the artist, the D, either his first name or his last name has a D. I just saw it the other day. Actually, what did I do with that? Oh, it's upstairs. My daughter's friend, mother, had an old soap opera magazine.
Oh, aren't those the best to look through?
Yeah, she brought it home. Actually, with a picture of her kind of like this, and the friend was like, what?
That's so funny.
Oh, that's
But what's his name? He was such an adorable guy. He lives in Zuma. He's an artist.
We always ask these show questions, but our own knowledge of our show history is garbage.
Run all the way upstairs and get the magazine. Yeah.
That's
but anyway,
all right. That's all right.
He's a really cool artist.
Hold on, I have your Wikipedia page up. I bet I can find it.
really handsome guy. So he was my love interest for a while. Ken Schreiner was my love interest for a while.
Oh, Ken, yes.
Yeah. And yes. That's the only bed scene I think I've done with somebody with their Converse on. Converse on in bed.
But, were they in the shot?
He and I, our paths have crossed a million times. Like I said, on Rituals.
I mean, he tells me all the time what a huge star he was.
I'm sure.
No, I know he was. I know he was there in the beginning.
Yeah, but that whole group, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's
Willie
amazing.
Warlock, Ken, the photographer.
Jim Warren.
Yes, Jim Warren. They're all like the little club, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So who else was? Then Stephen came on the show.
Yeah, Stephen. Right.
Oh, right.
So did you get you guys obviously cross paths there?
We had a love interest thing, and then I had a big affair with Tyler Christopher.
Oh yeah.
And I think I think I was his first on screen kiss.
Oh.
And at the time he was 20 or something. Right. And I was probably in my early 30s. And at the time I thought I was so old. I said, you call me mommy, it's over. Anyway, that's I adore funny. Him. And I know he's, had some struggles, but
yeah, he's awesome.
Such a sweetie pie.
He's great. Yeah.
And so I got to work with him again on Days.
Right. Did the people at GH bring Stephen on because you were there? Like maybe like, let's recreate some
yes,
of the.
Actually he, I'm going to tell the story. I mean, he may not like the story, but he had been unemployed. And I mean, he'd been doing some things, but he wasn't on a soap. And like I said, we all love these jobs. And I took him to the Emmys or something with me. And I'm telling you, the women, executive producers were sort of fighting over him. And so they brought him to GH.
Awesome. Oh,
that's amazing.
Yeah. And so it was great. But his character was so different. Our characters were so different. It didn't work the same way it did. And then some new writer came in and wrote us as brother and sister after we'd already been boyfriend and girlfriend.
It's
funky. Yeah.
It's hard to recapture. I know Daytime tries it all the time, but I mean, you can't recapture Patch and Kayla. It's just
Steve as Patch is a very, especially in the 80s. I mean, such a tough guy with this mushy marshmallow heart.
Yeah.
And that's why it's been so great, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know, how did he start wearing a patch? Do you know?
This is before I was on the show, but he and my brother, Bo, Peter Reckel.
Oh yeah.
They were in the Merchant Marines together. And I think they got in some kind of fight or something.
Oh, so that's where the patch
But
comes
he's had
from.
His eye, he had a bionic eye a couple years ago.
I know. Tyler was telling me that he could control it with an app.
Yep. It was Tyler that put it in. Thank you very much. Yeah. And
dude,
I thought
that's amazing.
I have to say it one more time.
Bradford. He had a bionic eye.
Right.
that you could control with an app, so he could shut his vision down anytime he wanted to.
Well, and that he could get him to. They thought he was. Oh, so he got arrested for espionage. The whole thing.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Wow.
Today's episode of That's Awesome is brought to you by our good friends at Best Fiends.
Yeah, Best Fiends.
You know, nowadays, with life full of day-to-day worries, it's nice to connect to something else, like family, community, from a distance. but also yourself. Sometimes you need those me moments, right? Like when after I pick up a whole yard full of dog poop, I need a little break.
Some me time.
Right. And so one of those moments where I just need a little bit of just like satisfied I did that. And that means for me clearing a few levels of Best Fiends, our favorite 5-star rated mobile puzzle game.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. I love it. I love all the different themes in Best Fiends.
Right.
As you know, I got so far in the game and had to reboot my phone to factory settings.
Jealous because now you get to like start expertise.
Exactly. I got some hacks now, so I'm good.
Well,
this
and also
game's
things,
awesome, guys.
It looks different than it did. I mean, yeah, you know, because like,
right,
they're always updating the levels. I'm on level 575.
Woo!
Yes, I'm on level 575. But there's more levels, events, and challenges added all the time. So, you know, and you never reach the end because they're always adding more levels. There's no way to ever get bored with this game.
There's not. And you know, it's 5-star rated, 100 million downloads, which is absolutely amazing. Yeah. And I got to say, I can't put the game down sometimes. It's just really, really fun.
Yeah. So, check out Best Fiends. Just don't blame us if you kind of get obsessed. So download Best Fiends free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play.
Yep. Best Fiends.
That's friends without the R. Best Fiends. Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Do you need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees.
Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.
So back at the height of it, I remember I've seen pictures. Whose hair was higher? Did he have? Because he had pretty high hair.
Wait, here's open. There's so many pictures. Our hair color was the same, and it was the same, you know, sort of layered long mullety thing. And
yeah.
There are pictures where our heads are together, and you can't see where the. You know, the 80s for us women on soaps, it was all country western.
Oh, and the guys, and the guys,
yeah. Nails, the whole thing. Yeah.
Oh, dude, I probably had the same type of mullet that Steven had when I was on Days.
Yeah, it was big. And Peter Reckles, I've seen some pictures of
him. Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's
just
so
just
funny.
Right for one of those glamour portraits above your bathtub.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Amazing. Like, just,
yes, amazing.
Yikes, I, what I have to say. But, you know, even a couple of years ago, I said to him, like, I think you need to trim that baby up a smidge. Like, it was kind of long, you know.
That's funny. So you guys are back. So you guys are back, right? Right now?
Yes. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, but it's so COVID.
I heard.
Well, you know, I saw, I do the Bay.
And yes.
Tristan.
Yeah. Yep.
And he was saying it's not quite the same for you guys, but I mean, we get there and we get, we have a whole app that we fill out for health. We get our temperature taken. We get swabbed every day we work. And every like 3 days you do a spit test that they send out to the lab.
It's crazy.
You have certain zones. You can't go in the makeup room unless they call you. And even then it's 10 minutes.
Wow.
On your, you know, and then we finish it up. Your dress room has a big sign that says occupancy one. We have, we run lines through an app called Teams, Microsoft Teams.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So when you're in your dressing room, you're doing,
you guys are going for it.
Yeah. They don't meet in person, and you can only have your mask off when you walk onto the set with those people, but you can't step out of the set without your mask. It's very strict.
What I'm most excited about is, you know, we have all the restrictions and stuff in place, but nobody's getting the flu right now.
Yeah, right.
Like, this is the healthiest our set's ever been. Like, really? You don't hear anyone coughing or sneezing or nothing.
Well, it's probably because you're not around so many people at home life, too.
Everywhere. So it's been absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
so.
They even offered a flu shot. So I got a flu shot the other day. They're really – they even just the other day offered a whole PPE kit if you're going to go anywhere for Thanksgiving.
That's awesome. Yeah, so let's talk about the Bay for a second. Mm-hmm. So I know you've been – have you been doing that since day one?
Yes.
Wow. So I noticed that you are a producer on there.
Yes.
So
it was supposed to be like a minute, and I think it's 10 years. I can't really believe that, but I think every year I think I'm not going to do it again, but I do it. And then I always have a good time.
Sure.
And, you know, my boyfriend is Tristan. And one of the reasons I really do it is because of him, because I think he's a doll.
Oh, he's amazing.
His smile alone is enough for me. It's like a big Cheshire cat. He's so cute.
Well, that's true.
Yeah,
it is true.
So Gregory, I don't know if you ever met Gregory Martin.
Of course, yeah. We've had him on the podcast. Yep.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's just amazing. He's a great salesman. He gets everybody on the planet on that show.
Totally
sure.
And it's really, I mean, and Wendy Rich.
I worked with Wendy. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so she's super involved in it, and I love her. And
it's awesome.
So. Yeah, it's really just logistically, if I'm doing days, it's just kind of hard to juggle to squeeze it in. But,
sure.
But we just shot some here, and they were also same COVID protection and everybody with their tests. And it's the times.
Are there new episodes coming out?
Yes, I think yesterday or this coming Tuesday.
Okay, great.
Pop TV or Pop Stars.
Yeah.
That's right. We are familiar with them as well. So, were you conscious of, like, when Gregory approached you or however that started, did you have any idea of, like, the kind of forward thinking about, like, digital programming? And were you interested in that, or was just like, someone wants me to play this character, and that's cool?
It was certainly new. I mean, when we made the first couple episodes, I called up Gregory and said, you can't put those out. I mean, all of us involved were so used to network television and the sound qualities and whatever. And the sound was funky that we Martha Madsen, we were, no, Martha, no, no. Is that her? Yeah. We shot, she had a restaurant and we shot there. And I mean, you know, the sound wasn't very good. And the lighting wasn't. But he just had perseverance. He was like, coming out this day. I said, it's coming out this day. It's coming out this day. And then the progression now, I mean, if you see the clip of the promo, what the season that's coming out, it looks amazing. It looks like it's shot for a movie.
Yeah, sure.
It's really amazing. I mean, he's done amazing.
Yeah, he's done an amazing job. I've always been a fan of his. He's worked hard. He's done it since the beginning.
And the Emmys, there's like 25 Emmys. I mean, I don't know.
It's crazy.
I mean, I have like seven with them. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, that's amazing. Basically, created a whole category, basically. And everyone else is just trying to catch up, right?
There's a lot more shows now.
Absolutely.
Enjoy seeing how far everybody's come. It's so cool. But he really was in the beginning of all this.
Well, because one of the things that we always talk about with actors and creative types is that storytelling element, and like how deep, like that drive to create story. Where does it come from? Where in your youth did you find it? And how do you try to get it out into the world even as your career takes off another, you know? And so talking to someone like him who's had that story, that one story in his heart and in his mind since he was a kid, perseverance is the perfect word.
Right.
But it like not only that story, but the method in which he tells it and the way he's kind of figured out how to create and tell it. It's always interesting for us to think about, like, okay, what stories do we tell and how do we want to tell them and why do we tell them? And, you know, because we tell so many other people's stories too. Like, you know, where in our life do we find that output too? So that's one of the things that we always talk about.
When you started saying this tale right here, I was thinking, oh yeah, that's Gregory's. And you already have talked to him, so you know, but he thought of this thing forever. He had my character, he says, in his mind forever.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
It is amazing. And it's amazing. Like I said, the perseverance when it was rough and he, the, you know, I don't know where he even got the people in the beginning, you know.
Yeah, he's
or whatever. I pulled him off the street. But it's amazing. And like I said, it's gotten better and better and more efficient. That's the other thing, you know, in these shows, it's almost like guerrilla theater. All of us who are so used to efficient chop chop, okay, one take, goodbye, see you later. That part was drove me crazy in the beginning, was just like, wait, where'd everybody go? It's time to, let's do it again. Don't walk away. Let's just get it done, you know. So that's gotten better and better and better and better.
Cool. So
because of COVID, there was one camera guy running, you know, kind of had one set up and then he run over and I mean, it was like, really, but it looked amazing. It really looked amazing.
It's great.
How is the evolution of, you know, obviously we've always done stuff quick in daytime, but it's only gotten quicker and quicker and quicker. So, you know, thinking about when you and Steven were in your heyday and then how you guys work now, has it like, has your process changed, your specific process, your approach to the work changed, or has it just been kind of like an evolution that feels it's hard to track the difference?
I think, I mean, you guys probably experienced the same thing. I can't remember how General Hospital was done, but days in the beginning, we would shoot one show and you would, you know, have your dry block, your camera block, your dress rehearsal, notes. And so you would be there with the person all day long. I mean, we used to sit in his dressing room back when he could smoke cigarettes in the dressing room, you know, that's how long ago it was, and eat peanut M&Ms and drink coffee in the afternoon. Oh, and then we'd go do the show, you know, it was like a dream. Such a deal.
Yeah.
The bummer of that was the 6 to 6 life, which I'm so glad we don't do that anymore. But, and then it was, you know, we'd have the day to run it. Well, now there's nothing, you know, now we don't have any rehearsal at all. Yeah. It's only if you happen to call the person on Teams. If you don't do that, you walk out on the set and you just do it. And there, and then now the stage manager says, and then on that line, you'll move over here.
Right.
So we've always liked to run stuff, but we used to do it in person and sit there and run it. And we like that anyway, because we like to get the rhythm and the whole deal. But we also, sometimes when you have so much dialogue and you're so bogged down by this, and you know, maybe you got 15 scenes in a row, different shows, you know this, all right?
Sure.
And I find that then you get out there and you have to just kind of go, okay. And I just look at him and connect with him and focus on the one scene. And I going back to Ken Schreiner, he's actually the one that kind of taught me this one thing, because one day we had all these millions of scenes and I'm trying to get him to run them with me. And of course he didn't want to. And he holds up the schedule and you know how it has everybody's, all your scenes listed. And he goes, "You see this? This is the appetizer. And this is the salad. And this is the entree. And this is the dessert. We're only working on the appetizer right now." You know what I mean? And I'm like, "Don't you want to run through the whole thing?" "Nope. Just the appetizer." So I got some good training from him, but I just, you know, we all just memorize. It's such a burden. That's the burden of the show. That is the only burden, really, is the heavy lifting of that. And as a soap person too, you think you have one take and you want to get it right. Mm-hmm. And we do only really have one take. Yep. And I did an SVU or something like this, and I had to play a doctor with all this medical jargon, which stresses me out. And like on the third try, I was like looking for the helicopter rope to pull me out of the scene and get me out of there, because I felt like such a failure, because I'm so used to this the way of doing it, that it's one take success. More than that, not so good.
Yeah. So, isn't that amazing, that standard that we hold ourselves to? And
we pull it off. Honestly, it's really amazing. Yeah. You sound coherent or something, or you actually move your hands.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you're so busy, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's truly amazing. It really is.
Yeah, I know.
Today's episode of That's Awesome is brought to you by Heat Holders. Heat Holders? Heat Holders. They hold the heat.
Yeah. Our friends holders. Heat Holders.
Heat Holders.
We know it's getting cold again. Everywhere.
Oh, my gosh. Everywhere. And why not have the warmest thermal socks? Why not?
They are warm, by the way.
Because, okay, so we're going to be staying home for Thanksgiving. We're going to be staying home a lot. And home is warmer when you're wearing warm socks.
Yes.
And also, if you know you don't have to put shoes on anytime that day,
to wear them all day long.
Wear them all day long. The thermostat feature lets you choose which pair is right for you. The originals, the lights, the ultralights. Originals have the max warmth. They're like the thick, the thickens. Seven times warmer than regular cotton socks. They'll also go in a ski boot and lots of other stuff, but they might not fit in your tennies. lights with a thinner profile that could maybe go in your sports shoes, but still four times warmer. And then ultra lights for the thinnest profile in everywhere, everyday dress wear with like your work shoes or whatever. But yeah, because you can use them at work, home, or play.
And so, they have more than just socks.
They sure do.
And that's the good news for me, because I'm going somewhere where it's going to be probably 10 degrees, they say.
Ooh, yeah.
So I'm going to need a little extra. I'm going to need some socks, a hat, some gloves. And my daughter stole the blanket, and I want the blanket back because I like the blanket. So we're excited. Heat holders hooked us up. We're ready to rock and roll for the mountains.
That's right. So if you like to be warm, or if you want to spread the warmth to family and friends, go to heatholders.com, get 15% off with our code AWESOME. That is
awesome.
15% at heatholders.com by using our code AWESOME, and you can receive free shipping with any purchase of $25 or more. So don't freeze your butt off or your feet off this winter. Keep them all. Keep all your appendages.
keep them all with Heat Holders. Go to heatholders.com. Use that code.
Awesome.
Heat Holders.
Making life warmer. Today's episode of That's Awesome is also brought to you by Solitaire Grand Harvest. Friends, you know we love our mobile games. We have a new one to talk to you about. And again, as the holidays come up, you know, sometimes, you know, we as rightly so, we focus on others during the holidays. But sometimes you need a little me time, and whatever routine you have to handle stress, maybe have a little Solitaire Grand Harvest. It's everything you love about playing Tri-Peak Solitaire, all wrapped up in a fun farm aesthetic. So change your scenery, get into a little fun farm.
Yeah, it's cool, man, because it's actually pretty relaxing. Solitaire Grand Harvest is it's a relaxing treat for the mind. It's fun. There's challenging levels. You can play anywhere, anytime, right? You play your cards right to advance and earn an hourly bonus based on how many crops you grow. The more you play, the more crops you can harvest, and the more bonuses there are to collect. You spin the bonus wheel to grab even more surprises like free coins, bonus cards, extra harvests, and more. It's seriously a solitaire like you've never seen.
And it's awesome. Free to play.
Yep.
And you can connect your social accounts to see how your friends are progressing in the game, or, you know, have some friendly competition while you're stuck at home. It is beautiful. The farm aesthetic, I didn't know how much I'd appreciate it, but it is fun to have a different point of view. Like,
yes,
I like being at the farm.
Well, who'd have thunk?
I like being at the farm. And the solitaire, every solitaire game is slightly different, so you're always getting a different look at it. The cards are organized in a different way. But the gameplay is really, it is therapeutic in a way. Like, I love order. I love order. I'm a control freak. And solitaire, the order of solitaire makes me happy.
If you're playing solitaire on the farm, it's relaxing. If you're working on the farm, that's not. So I would say play some solitaire.
There you go. So whether you're stuck inside or just dreaming of the great outdoors, now you can have a fun farm-style getaway right at your fingertips.
Download Solitaire Grand Harvest for free today in the Apple App Store, Google Play, and Amazon.
That relationship that you guys have on the show, like, we talk about the, you know, because sometimes the words that we say are not the not the most organic necessarily.
Bionic eyes and things like
that. Yeah. Right. But, you know, the gift in our genre is when we find those relationships, right? Where you're working with a partner that you trust, that you enjoy working with, that creates something in you so that your work is easier and more fun because you're connecting.
You need to remember. Yeah, no, I would always, I should have been in daytime back when they were just sitting on the couch with their teacups talking about how much they love each other, because that, to me, those are my favorite, is the relationship things. Or now that we're over, I love the conflict with our children and the family. And sometimes, you know, fans will get upset about them breaking us up or doing whatever, but they need vehicles to bring you back, you know, and that's the thing, to reinvent the love thing. They need that. But, it's the other stuff. I think what's brilliant about, one time I was in a scene where there's like a shooter, active shooter, and and Steven and Drake Hogeston, or they pull out their guns because, you know, they're detectives or whatever, you know. And then they're like on their knee, and they're like, you know, Drake Hogeston's like, 10 o'clock, you know. And they're watching them. I'm just thinking, it's all about committing.
Totally.
If you commit to whatever the hell you're talking about, you pull it off somehow. And that's what we have to do. I mean, I tell people when they get upset about a storyline, I say, but we are hired to actually say it. So
yeah.
I'm going to have to say this. I can argue about a little character point, but I'm going to have to say it. So all I can really do is commit 100% and do my best. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely teaches you commitment for sure. And you got to go for it because you only get one or two takes. So, I mean, you guys get one. We might get an extra take, but only not a full, but not a full take. We get a pickup. We don't get a full
get an extra take.
Only if we slur or something.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. You just got to stop it. So
I really need to fix this screen of mine. I'm just
like, oh, you're fine.
That's right. It looks great.
I don't know. Anyway.
So it's funny. You said something earlier that you do, you know, you've been in daytime so much and you never really talk about it with your kids. It's like my kids have no idea. Like, yesterday I did some really cool stunts. I had shootouts. I jumped off a bridge. And I come home and no one cares.
No one cares.
No one knows. No one cares.
My youngest son is 27. And about maybe 2 years ago or something, he needed something from me from work. And I was like, well, okay. All right. Well, you know, why'd you come by or whatever? He walked in like, wow. Like, cool. And he got his camera. And I was thinking, have you never been here? Oh, that's weird. That's funny. Oh, well.
Don't you know I'm Kayla? I'm Kayla. Don't you know I'm Kayla?
No, your kids never. How many kids do you have?
Three.
So did any of them did any of them go into entertainment? Did any of them?
No.
And never even.
No. My son's
wandered.
My youngest is in commercial real estate. My daughter's an orthodontist. Well, my husband's a doctor. So, you know, she's kind of the science brain in our family. And then my older son is in real estate too. So no. And you know what? I think it's from that single mother thing. I would have been the worst mother for the arts. Like for me, it would have been chop, chop. What's your backup plan? You know, it's too free form for me. In fact, I have a friend whose daughter graduated from an arts college and now it's COVID. She's doing nothing because she has nothing. I said, she needs to get a vocation. She needs to, can she be a phlebotomist? Does she want to draw blood? I mean, I don't know what it is, but
yeah, sure.
I'm a big person of you have to pay your rent. So go get a job doing anything. I don't know, I don't think I would have been a very good mother for the arts.
Mm.
Having a kid, I have two little girls who are, you know, full on dancing, doing theater. Well, cause their mom, my wife, also, we both trained in musical theater at NYU and my wife's now a drama teacher. And it's really part of our family culture, but we're not terribly excited about them going into the arts for that reason, because you know, you think of your kids as vulnerable anyway, and you want to protect them. So the idea of putting them in the arts where they're even more vulnerable in that way is terrifying.
I think that you can do two things at once. I think that is the solution. Is, you know, maybe they go on to college and they have a minor in something, or, you know, I mean, I often think like go be a real estate broker or something. It's rough.
I mean, I think with the kids, if there's a will, there's a way. So
probably you as people who started young. I mean, when I first started, it was like, nobody's going to tell me I'm not going to get this job. If they don't hire me for this Father Murphy episode, then they didn't see what I got, you know, and that was my attitude. But if you have that attitude, but I also waitressed always, I supported myself. That's really more the point is when I meet young actors or whatever, their parents are supporting them. I just think like, that part I'm not cool with. I think that if you want to pursue that and you want to do that, then great. Then you get a waitress job or you work at Bonds or, you know, whatever.
Well, because that work ethic and that humility helps you in your career, right?
Sure.
Because if you're expecting something, if you're expecting people to give you things, that is not help as in an acting career.
I agree with you. That's what I say. So that's, I'd be okay with it, but they'd have to have a second something.
So
I kind of felt like I didn't even learn to type because I thought I don't want to be a secretary. Well, gosh darn, that typing would have really helped me now with my hands and pecking on the computer.
Now it would have for sure.
<Nothing. laughs> Yeah. I could already find your email. So,
So outside of acting, was there anything else artistically that you did? Was it music or painting? Was there something else that you, when you had time
I'm
off, that you did?
I'm a big homie. I mean, like, I even did a, for Days of Our Lives, had an app. I mean, they do have the app now, but I don't think they're making new content. But we did a whole cooking show.
Oh, that's cool.
Kitchen. Fun.
Yeah. But I'm very creative in my Martha Stewart-ish life. Like, awesome. I'm a big gardener, love a beautiful garden.
Sweet.
Love to cook the stuff. And I'd say that's, I'm kind of a homemaker thing. Like, I like to decorate my house. I move stuff around all the time. It's funny because my husband is not, he'll come home, he's like, where'd that chair go? Or I'm like, yeah. I moved it to this other room. I think that comes from my mother with that moving from apartment to apartment thing. Like, I'm always just shuffling stuff. And it really throws him because he is not that person. But so I'm always kind of artistically around my house.
Yeah, that's a nice way to be able to use that.
In a, it,
right,
make it look
absolutely
new and fresh. I try to tell him that, but he hasn't quite.
Yeah.
Years later, he still doesn't get it.
Wow.
Well, when you've had the career like you've had, it's you haven't had too many spots where you need to fill with other ventures. So
the times I have to say, like I had said before, I will go find a play. I hustle my head off when that happens.
Yeah, that's awesome. Plus you have kids, it keeps you busy. Now you have grandkids. How many grandkids?
Three.
Wow. You guys are.
And they're all relatively nearby?
Only one lives close. The other two live out of state. So that part's a drag. But
I think
we're going to see them in the beginning of December. But it's really hard now with the COVID. Like
I know.
Like if I haven't flown anywhere, and I feel like I'm going to wear the whole thing, I think. You know.
Yeah.
Well, a friend of mine, here's nice. My friend of mine works for Homeland Security, and he said that there wasn't a lot of problem that they saw with COVID on the planes and tracking people. There was more of international flyers coming in the beginning, which was spreading it more, and people are more conscious now. So he's not too worried about flying.
Yeah.
Whatever that means, I don't know.
Sure.
But
I don't know. But I'm going to really be careful anyway.
Yeah, you should
be careful. It's good.
But,
it's a good idea.
It's a, I mean, the little one, I babysit him whenever I'm not working, and that's super cute.
Oh, it's awesome.
And the other ones, we do FaceTime and we try to see them. It's not as great, but when the COVID's over, it'll be easier. Because we used to go and visit them quite a bit, but.
Well, and the problem now is because of COVID, when you're traps and your shoulders and you're like from holding the kid, you can't get a massage. What are you going to do?
That is the gosh darn truth.
Right?
I know. I've had one manicure and pedicure the whole time. It was like in the back parking lot. Like, I know. There are certain things I was really grooving on. And this guy, I'm sitting with this guy that I know that had this little gym, you know, and he was busy and everybody loved him. And that's been closed. It's just like,
I know,
you
it's tough.
People with this kind of situation.
Business,
I mean, I feel lucky that we were able to go back to work, but we were off for like 7 months or something.
I know. We were the first ones back. So we were like, this is amazing. Yeah. And Frank's doing a great job.
The crazy thing with Days is they were always about 8 months ahead. I mean,
I know.
Fast of us. So that was so great. Like, it actually worked in our favor for once. Yeah.
For sure it did.
You guys, Days was just preparing for a pandemic.
We didn't know.
You didn't know.
I don't know how that happened.
That's so awesome.
Amazing.
Yes. So, Mary Beth, where can people find you on social media if you're on there, if you want to be on
there?
I'm only
on Instagram, really. I think it's marybeth.evans, I think. But I love to see little pictures of my kids. It's like I told you, I don't know anything.
Okay. That's all right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Well, and
let, me
so,
ask you, quick, because you say you have two daughters. How old are they?
9 and 6.
Mm-hmm. And Steve, you're gotten older now, right?
I have a 17-year-old girl, 14-year-old boy, and a 6-year-old girl.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It is a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, you know, now, I mean, I have to say, when they all, you know, went off to college, you're like, it is. And actually, my last one, when he went to college, I went and I hugged him the last time and like kind of toked up, and I swear I turned around and went, okay.
Yeah.
And it's so great now because you see them and you get to enjoy them as cool people. And then, I mean, luckily, my husband and I always took care of our relationship. We, you know, always had our Friday and Saturday, whenever it was, date nights. And we have so much fun together. Like, this is glory time. My 50s were, like, brilliant with everybody. My last one turned 18 when I was 50. So it was really fabulous.
Wow.
So we had a good time. My husband and I,
good for you.
On Friday night, we're going lobster potting. We've done that as much times. We, you know, like dropping the nets in the dark, you know. So we do a lot of fun stuff.
You're going to go catch your own lobster?
Yeah.
In the wild or at like a store?
On a boat. Out there. You might see me there on Friday night, Steve.
In the ocean, Bradford?
Yeah, over there by Crystal Cove or something. Like
there you go. Yeah, there's good lobster fishing over there. Hunting. Yeah. I was saying lobster hunting. I don't think that's
I'm from New England, so lobsters.
Must see. My daughter looked at a college like Rhode Island or something. Man, we were just getting the lobsters. And we, my husband and I went to Nova Scotia once, and there, they're so cheap. And even when you leave in the airport, you know how like, you know, there's burger places or whatever in our airports. This is like the ice with all the lobsters displayed. Yeah. To take them with you. You know, I mean, so much lobster. I love
so much lobster. Yeah. No, I miss
claws, you know.
Well, let me end to great seafood.
Let me wrap it with this. So the lobsters used to be viewed as the cockroaches of the sea.
Mm. Ew. Seriously?
Nobody wanted them. It was the ocean was overrun with lobsters until a marketing guy had a marketing campaign and made it a higher class.
And I mean, what is not dipped in butter that, you know, everything tastes great.
It's amazing. If you see the marketing, he went from this was a cockroach to now where everybody's eating.
I'm going to look that up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, it's funny. There was a picture going around on social media saying, and it was compared, like showing sea and land. And, you know, like it had cockroach, lobster, crab, spider. Like it was like, it did make you think about like, the sea creatures that we hold up on a pedestal.
Well, you know, in Catalina, they have like a fishing club or tuna club or something, this whole building there, you know, I mean, once upon a time in Southern California, there was like so much fish.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's our technique, but we've been out a lot and have hardly caught anything. So I don't know.
Well, there's
my husband even has a whole getup, and he's gone like, I'm not getting him this way. I'm going down under. He's got a whole spear gun thing to catch the fish.
Wow. So do you just enjoy the boat ride and maybe bring a cocktail or what?
You know what?
That sounds fun.
I love sailing. We sailed a lot until he decided to be a fishing guy. But I go because I love him and I, you know, whatever.
That's nice.
I like to hang with him.
Yeah, if you don't catch anything, you just go to Red Lobster.
I don't care. I find the whole, even just fishing and you don't catch anything, relaxing.
Sure.
Great.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah, I'll let you know if I get any lobsters this weekend.
Yeah, awesome. Let us know.
Awesome. Well, hey, it's been such a delight to visit with you. And,
yes, thank you, Mary Beth.
Thank you so much.
Sorry it took me so long.
Oh, you're fine.
You're fine.
Awesome. All right, well, thank you. Hi to everybody at GH for me.
I will.
Will do. Love talking to Mary Beth.
She's awesome, man. Right?
Yeah, man. I didn't know her that well. You know, I was gonna say passed her in the hallway. I don't think we've ever, like, the only hallway we've ever been together in is probably at the Beverly Hilton or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But she's so chill, man. You know, I always had this idea of like soap actors before I was one, that like they're just like, you know, glamorous and like and we're just all real people.
Well, I love that. She is glamorous, though.
Of course.
Yeah, no, I know. Because when I remember being on Days when I was like, holy moly.
Well, but also
Mary Beth Evans, I'm too young.
Well, I just like when you know what it is? I love getting to know someone's sense of humor.
Sure.
Right? And she's got like, she's got great, a great sense of humor.
Totally.
So that was awesome. So check out the new episodes of The Bay coming up on Popstar TV. I know you guys are familiar with Popstar TV. We got some news, Steve.
We do have some news. We've been working on this news for quite some time, sir.
Oh my gosh, I know. We have been teasing this since the summer.
Three, I know. It's been so
something
long.
Something like that, like August maybe, I don't know. Anyway, we have been, you guys know that, you know, through Port Chuck, through lots of venues, we love music, and we have been excited about potentially making some of our own noise.
Yeah, just kind of putting a twist on some of our favorites. And the first one happens to be... even the dog got excited right there. The first one happens to be Africa by Toto, which Bradford actually sang during Port Chuck days. It's fine, dude. It's fine. He's excited.
Okay. Yeah, he is excited.
It's fine.
So, you might think, why does the world need another cover of that song? But just you wait. Just you wait, Henry Higgins. Throwing in a little musical reference there, a little My Fair Lady reference, I don't know why I didn't get. I don't know why we need that. But your friend of mine, Stevie B, puts in something pretty special.
Yeah, it's a little something special in Africa. So we'll see.
Yes.
So this is something we've always kind of talked about, you singing, me rapping, and we did it. And we would love for you guys to check it out at StoneColdAndTheJackal.com. It's there right now.
It's there right now. We get to work with some amazing musicians. Yes. Our friend Dickie, who was our drummer in Port Chuck, helped us with his friend Chris. And we are, you know, we love working with amazing people. And boy, did we get to.
Yeah, man. And, you know, we could talk about it more on another podcast, but the collaborative effort has been amazing. And we just did a second song, which we won't say anything about yet, but we did a second one, and that will be out soon.
Right.
So we're excited. Go to StoneColdAndJackal.com and check that out. And then also, we got a Christmas party coming up.
That's right. On December 12th, we will be – if you saw our Port Chuck party, it's going to be – to the same high quality as that. And we're going to have two of our friends from General Hospital, James Patrick Stewart and Marcus Coloma. They play Valentine and Nicholas, respectively. And they're going to come out and play some music for you. And we're going to have a lot of fun, some holiday cheer. You'll love it.
Yes.
And that's over on our Patreon page. So go to patreon.com/StoneColdAndTheJackal. And we're having a great time.
Other cool stuff over there too. Yeah. Great time for sure.
So
thank you guys so much. We appreciate you listening, and keep listening so we can keep doing some cool stuff for you.
Yeah. All right. Have a great day. We will talk to you next week.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah.
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who? Let me start this thing off.
Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.